Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
This is Danny Jefferson.
Hey, and this is Alan Creedy.
And Alan, we had a previous podcast when the word funeral came up, and we were specifically talking about what is the meaning, quote unquote, of the word funeral.
Well, just as a reminder, I rejected that word simply because I think it puts constraints on our thinking, but I'm not objecting to the word itself. However, I will say that even if you're involved in funeral service or not, when you say the word funeral,
people think of a certain thing.
They think of a conventional funeral.
And that would be a casket, people sitting around, a minister.
A funeral service, a minister or some other officiant.
Right.
Yeah. Procession, maybe a wake.
But here's the thing.
Somber.
Yeah. Internationally, a funeral in India is placing the ceremony of placing a body on a funeral pyre.
Yeah, it's very different all over the world.
Lighting the pyre and it goes down the river.
And in Russia, the emphasis is not on the funeral, the emphasis is on the tombstone.
Right, right. And the Serbian group, we've got Serbian people in our area and just wonderful people.
So it's different customs.
Yeah, and the Cyrillic, it's just they do everything in their native language.
Right.
Now, one of the more powerful songs, if are listening, Google it, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
And
especially that Hawaiian guy.
The long Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, most people don't realize that as you're watching the video, it is the video of his funeral.
Yep, that's right.
You watch people, the islanders.
He's in his funeral.
They're in their colorful attire. They're all in boats, and they all meet out in the middle of this beautiful bay, and they raise this urn in the air, and then they...
It's a big urn.
Yeah, and they pour it out, and it's amazing. That song is used on a lot of funerals, and I always... It's one of the things that I've always used with people is this. Whatever you do, do it so it makes an impact for me to that person's life.
Well, Danny, you use a term, and I let you use this liberally, and the word is props, P-R-O-P-S.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you do that to draw a relationship to theater, and I think that's appropriate. But the thing about that is you somehow understand the importance of props. And what I think our profession is struggling with is that the props that were so valuable and so lucrative for many years, 100 years or more, are not wanted by the customer. And so part of the point we need to make here when we talk about what is a funeral or a funeral, how do you define funeral, is that we forget that there are elements to this process, some of which go out of fashion or become outdated over time, but some of which, and this is what we forget, never go out of fashion. So part of that is the props. These are representative items. They can be an urn. They can be a casket. You have replaced the reverential part in the cremation process with your ossuary, the urn ark. So you incorporate that. But those props, there always needs to be a representative symbol. I know I've heard that some people who have been lost at sea, they'll have a service and they'll have their baseball cap or some other physical item that represents that person. That's an intrinsic human need, okay? The second thing that is intrinsic human need has not changed. The props have changed. The customs have changed. But it's the need to acknowledge, or I don't know the wording, frankly, but that the significance of the deceased and their survivors.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to hear me say this. I think you can put it on my tombstone if you want, because I say it a lot. But I am unconvinced that you will ever be able to replace a human hug with some electronic device. You can have holograms. You can do all that. But there is nothing as comforting as a physical presence of another human being. This is a human need. And that's the function that what we have come to think of as a funeral service and visitation have provided. So I don't care whether you call it a gathering or a cookout or a baseball game. It really doesn't matter. But that gathering has never changed. That need for gathering.
Now, because we've had conversations about this and because people in our profession have had conversations, when we went to the National Funeral Directors mm-hmm. Convention, there was a lot of training, and we had breakfast with David Hernandez. Mm-hmm. David is just a really, really, really sharp
person. One of the smartest guys.
I look up to him.
I do too.
But there aren't any training seminars or training portions that I noticed that were emotional driven.
How do you mean?
When you are watching a movie
mm-hmm.
and a boat sinks
mm-hmm.
and something, a handkerchief of someone floats to the surface,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you realize that person's dead.
Oh, well, that's interesting that you bring that up.
And what are you thinking?
Well, again, I always feel like I'm doing a commercial here, but you have developed some mechanisms. And I just realized, as you were talking, that one of the most essential things we need to try and achieve, we can't do it all the time, but the essential things we need to try and achieve for the survivors and their guests is a momentary connection with the deceased.
An impact.
Oh, it has an impact, but that momentary connection. So one of the things that you do is you have a kind of interrogative eulogy where you ask you just address the group and you say, when was the last time you talked to Mary Jones?
Right.
If she were here right now, what would you say? What do you think she would say to you?
Right.
And so on. And oh my gosh, in about 3 minutes, you have connected. And even if you didn't know the person, you're going, yeah, I wish I'd known that person. But it is a tearjerker when you do that. But again, we talked to another podcast about the Reese's peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm.
That person was famous for loving Reese's peanut butter cups. Immediate connection. Boom.
When people talk about funerals, I've said it in the past, and I've said it to families, but I'm still not sure if it's the correct answer, but people would understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, what's the difference in a memorial service, a celebration of life, or a funeral?
Yeah.
Well, really, there is none.
There shouldn't be any.
Except, I've always told them when we had a funeral, the body was present, meaning that the urn or the casket, whether it's a small box or big box, it was a funeral, and we would word that in the obituary. But in the context of the conversation we're having, that could be that handkerchief that floated to the top, and that's all we had. It could be one of the other things that you were mentioning, like a hat or a picture of the individual.
It's a symbol. So
exactly.
The body itself is, you and I are never going to get away from the importance of having the body present, but we have to deal with the reality of the market. We can't push that string upstream much, much longer.
Right.
We're convinced, but they're not. What we need to advocate for in funeral service is that there be a representative symbol. What I like about your ossuary is that you have, what it does is it gives dignity to the process and enables, and as a side effect, which is another theatrical thing that gives people connection, it enables the survivors or pallbearers or whatever to carry it in. But you see, what you're doing there is you're taking that sacred object and you're treating it with reverence. And I don't care if you're an atheist. You get that.
Right.
You get that. And you connect with it. And what happens is it's like an aura. It spreads out and it covers you as the funeral director, because people are looking at the way you treat it and they're going, that guy's got class.
When you have a funeral, you bring out that person's nuances, their fun stuff.
Today, yeah.
Their fact that, and you try.
People today want authenticity. Believe me, all the research shows this. They want it. I've actually had a celebrant share a story with me about a guy who was a drop-down drunk, and how they celebrated the fact that because he was a drunk, his children were dry. And it,
there's always got to be the celebration, and that's the word that you want to use. Rather than a mourning, there's a difference in mourning and celebration. But again, they're connected. They're connected by one thing, and that is that person, that individual, that family that loved that one person and that one person's life. Their life mattered.
Their life mattered. And Danny, when my mother was dying at 92, she asked me to make her funeral arrangements. And I asked her what she wanted, and she said, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. But I know you and your sister are not going to let me get away with that.
Sure.
I said, you got it. The idea, the very thought, and I think I represent a good portion of society in this, the very thought that we would do nothing for my mother, is absolutely abhorrent to me.
Right.
I don't get that, and I don't think a lot of people do get that.
Right.
But for her, that's what she wanted, and I'm sorry, we just dishonored her. We had a full viewing, the whole thing, which I'm sure when I get to heaven, she's going to kick me down the stairs about, but hey, yeah. She's my mother.
Funerals are for the living. This has been a podcast, Two Men and a Question. You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.